Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Well, it happens every year. I think it even happened through the COVID crisis. Not sure. Southern Baptists get together and they convene, they meet, they discuss all kinds of issues. It's a loose association as denominations go. But lately they've been in the news for some very controversial topics, and not the least of which is the actions or inactions of their executive committee over the last decades. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention in Anaheim, California, Bob Smetana. He is a veteran religion writer and national reporter for Religion News Service. He joins us from Anaheim. Bob, welcome.
Hey, Todd. Great to be here.
Why do delegates of the Southern Baptist Convention meet annually?
Okay, so that's a great question. The SBC is really a body in which the churches are in charge. That's how it's set up. So they have a very small national office. And they have an annual meeting every year, which the kind of that national office gets their marching orders. They have to approve the budget. They have to elect what are called trustees, who are like board members for entities. And they have to elect a president.
What powers does this meeting of delegates have over the congregations of the SBC?
So they don't have any power. What it really is a way of empowering the congregation, have their say in what the both the national office and really, more importantly, what their entities, their mission board, their North American mission board, their seminaries, what those organizations do. So they get reports on how those organizations are doing. They make sure that they're staying in line. So really, the one thing that the messengers can do is they can expel a congregation, say that a congregation does something that they don't approve of. So in the past, like last year, they kicked out some churches who had mistreated sex abuse. So they have that kind of power, but they really don't have any power. It's actually a way of empowering the churches to have direct control over the entities.
Give us some context, and some of this is really unprecedented, but context for this year's meeting.
Yeah, so there's a couple things going on. One is kind of an internal debate over who's a Southern Baptist. There's a group that really wants to have a very narrow definition of who a Southern Baptist is. And that is, everyone in the FCC is theologically conservative. These are more conservative. They tend to be Calvinist groups. They say, well, if you have to follow our statement of faith 100% and do things our way, or we don't want you in the church. There's another group that's a little more broader that says we need to cooperate fully. So one group focuses on what are our limits. One group says, how much can we cooperate? So that's one part of it's going on. Second is the whole debate over, you know, over critical race theory and diversity and LGBT and all the issues going on in the public and the Trump Democrat divide, that's going on as well. The third thing that's going on is that there's long been a concern that the national office or the convention has mishandled sexual abuse, that there's been a problem in it and that they haven't done enough to address it. In fact, there were concerns that the national office, known as the executive committee, had mistreated abuse survivors. And so last year, there were calls for an investigation of the committee, of the executive committee, and how they handled sexual abuse. That members of that committee did not want to be investigated, but the messengers basically said, no, you're going to be investigated. We're going to hire a firm to look at you. And that firm is going to look at all your correspondence with your lawyers to see exactly what you were up to, because we're not so happy.
So go into a little more detail on that last one. How is the convention expected to address the issues raised by that recent report on sexual abuse, in particular, the reported actions or inactions of the executive committee and some of its members?
So early this afternoon, the first one of the things we're going to hear from is the sexual abuse task force, which is going to bring some recommendations. They're going to kind of explain the report, but they're also going to make some recommendations. One of them is to have basically a website that will track people who have been convicted of abuse or credibly abused so that you know, basically Southern Baptist pastors, church workers, volunteers. So there'll be a central place that, where that information is tracked. Another one is to have a kind of proactive hotline where people can call, and there'd be a staff person who would basically facilitate, okay, an allegation comes in, who do we send it to? Do we send it to a church? Do we send it to a local association? Do we send it to a state convention? Do we send it to one of the national entities? A third thing would be more training for churches on how you deal with abuse and best practices. And the fourth thing would be to set up a task force, basically, to look at other changes. One thing there has been proposed is basically a fund to assist sex abuse survivors. So those are a number of things. And right now they have about $4 million. Two of their agencies who have this, their relief and development arm, which is called Send Relief, has given $4 million to start as basically initial money to start some of these reforms.
Do you expect the convention to address the decision by the Saddleback Megachurch to ordain three female pastors back in 2021 and more recently to hire a female teaching pastor?
Yeah, so that is probably going to, they've been addressing it now. There was a debate this morning. So there's a debate right now over actually what a pastor is, because the Baptist Faith and Message, their statement of faith, says that only men can be pastors. There are some people in the denomination who say, oh, that means the lead pastor of the church, right? The preaching, teaching pastor, who's in charge of the church. There are other people who say, no, that applies to anyone. No person in the church can be called a pastor. So if you know, the churches sometimes have a children's pastor or a woman's pastor or an executive pastor or a pastor of missions. And sometimes women have those roles. So there's a group that says no woman could be called a pastor. Others say no, it has to just be the lead pastor. There's some tension going on right now. There was a recommendation to remove Saddleback. The committee came back and said, we're not ready to decide because we don't know what you mean by the word pastor. So help us understand it. And right now they're having a debate over whether there should be a study committee on whether what the word pastor means, whether there should be a study committee. There's been an amendment to say, should there be a study committee that would study how close you have to abide by our doctrine or our statement of faith to be a Southern Baptist? So right now they're having a ballot vote on, they had a ballot, people voted on the amendment to have a kind of a broader study committee. We'll find out that this afternoon, and then we'll find out whether Saddleback will be removed. It feels at this point that Saddleback is not going to stay. It just feels like there's a movement in the room that because they have not just staff pastor, but the teaching pastor, that was too far. But we'll see.
Do you know if anyone from Saddleback have they sent messengers?
No, I don't think so. And they have not been really willing to engage. But again, actually, the committee talked to Rick Warren, apparently. That was a part of the thing. They had talked with Rick Warren and had a very good conversation. So I don't know if Rick is here. I'm actually, right before you called, I'm trying to figure out if he's here. I was actually visiting them this weekend.
Last year's meeting was attended by over 21,000 messengers. This year's is less than half that. How did that affect the proceedings last year?
Well, it affected in a couple of ways. One, there was a lot of people wanting to talk about sex abuse. Two, there were a lot of people who, there's a very highly contested presidential race. There's a group called the Pirates. There's a group called the Conservative Baptist Network that thinks issues like women preachers and what they call wokeism and critical race theory have taken over the convention, and they want to fight back. They're allied with a couple other groups, this one Calvinist group called Founders Ministry, and then a group called Sovereign Nations, which is an anti-CRT Christian nationalist group. Well, that kind of whole group of people came together and they said they wanted to take back the ship. That's where the Pirates came from. So a lot of folks from southern states turned out. What we have here is in California, that's not its center of power. Its center of power is like, it's probably Texas, Georgia, Florida, you know, Bible Belt states. So we have fewer messengers here and probably a less of a base of support for that group.
Is the 8,200 that you reported, is that pretty typical for a meeting? It's a big drop in 1 year.
So the 20,000 was the biggest in years. This is a big group for a West Coast. I think they had a meeting in Salt Lake that had more. a number of years ago. So the meeting had been really declined to where you had 6,000 or 7,000 people, even in the Bible Belt. And so it was kind of a rebound. So they missed 2020. There was no meeting because of COVID. 2021 they meet, so there was kind of pent up. We have a lot of business to do. It was in the heart. It's in Nashville where everybody can get to. 8,000 is a pretty good number for California. It's a lot more expensive to have all these folks come here. For West Coast, it's a really good turnout.
Who are the likely candidates for SBC president?
So there's four now. So there's Tom Askell, who's the head of Founders Ministry. He's in the sort of pirate, take back the ship, change the direction of the convention group. He actually spoke up in our meeting about voting on Saddleback. There is Bart Barber. Bart Barber has been the chair of the Resolutions Committee. He's a Texas pastor, very popular on Twitter, mostly known for his kind of quirky videos, and he's an expert on SBC governance. So they are both pastors of fairly small churches. The third candidate is Robin Hadaway. He's a seminary professor, retired missionary, and just this morning, Frank Cox, who's a Georgia megachurch pastor, hopped in the race. And he ran in 2008 when Johnny Hunt ran and lost. So now we have four candidates. It's mostly been our two leading candidates are Barber and Askell. If one of them is appointed, they would be the kind of first pastor in decades who is the pastor of a kind of regular-sized church to be FCC president. It's been the kind of domain of megachurch pastors for a long time.
You point out that yesterday was the SBC Pastors Conference meeting. Anything happened there that serves as an indicator for this week's SBC meeting?
Yeah, so that's the other kind of pro-conservative Baptist network candidate was Vadi Bakum, who is a preacher and author, and he's actually a dean of a school in Africa. But Vadi is he's got a book called Fault Lines. It's about critical race theory and social justice, which he thinks is has made in the church. He was their candidate for Southern Baptist Convention Pastors Conference president. He was defeated by about 60 votes in turnout. There were about 1,300 people at the pastors who voted at the pastors convention. About 600 voted for him. So that was a little bit of an indicator that was probably their. My thought was that was the best place for the CBN to sort of have a win and a bully pulpit for their cause. And they lost pretty narrowly. I think in the convention, it seems like they have much less support.
I just want to ask, I think you point out when you report on this that Vadi Bakum is not even a Baptist and he's not a pastor. How did he become a possibility for the presidency of their pastors conference?
He was a Southern Baptist pastor, started a church, then he moved to Africa to be the dean. So he was kind of floated as he might be a candidate for president of the SBC. And he said, basically, well, I'm not really a Southern Baptist because it's a very technical understanding of what a church member is. There are a group of Baptists who take church membership very seriously. So he would say, I can't be a member of a church in the U.S. when I live in Zambia. So he has ties to the SBC, but as of right now, he's neither a Southern Baptist nor a pastor. And I think that became an issue as well.
Anything else you're anticipating for this week's meeting?
Before the meeting started, I talked to the current president, Ed Lydon, who said his advice to the SBC president was buckle up because you don't know what's going to happen. I'm not sure who's going to be president. I think Saddleback will be big news. I think the response to the Sex Abuse Committee will be interesting to say what do they really want to do and how much national cooperation. So one of the questions that came up during the sex abuse is that the convention has no power over churches. They can't tell you what to do. But they do cooperate, and they do agree when they cooperate to have certain principles of things they live by. And it will be interesting, and for a long time, their leadership said, look, because we have no power over churches, we can't do anything about sex abuse proactively, and it's not really our problem. And there was an attempt to make sure there's no liability for the greater mission. And I think what now you had last year was people saying, we don't think that's good enough. And there's a kind of move to say, we cooperate on all kinds of things. Let's cooperate on addressing sexual abuse. So that will be one question. Will they really do this? The second is there's a kind of resolution. Last year there was a resolution that got a lot of play on abortion abolition, which is, you know, the end of abortion with no exception, which is, you've seen now in Oklahoma and a few other states adopt those kind of laws that are closer to that. So now there's a new resolution, which would basically say it's called equal protection for the unborn. And basically one of the things it would say is that women who have abortions should face criminal penalties. So that would be interesting to see how far that goes. Will people say, yes, we think that's right, or people say, wait, we don't want to start jailing people who have abortions. To see how far that goes, especially as Roe's future is pretty uncertain, it'll be interesting to see how, where the Southern Baptists feel like the lines should be in terms of new legislation.
Bob Smetana is veteran religion writer and national reporter for Religion News Service. He joined us from Anaheim. Bob, thanks.
Great. It was great to be here. Thanks so much.
We'll post a link to his columns at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. When we return, we're going to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And that comment line, 618-223-8382.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. Century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Times of war have caused people throughout history to ask questions about the existence of God and the existence of evil. And yet we must confess that even amidst the terrors of war, God remains God. Nothing happens that he does not, at the very least, allow. If you've wondered these very things, especially as you've watched the war in Ukraine, you might find some of the answers you're looking for in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, Church and State in a Time of War. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe, or our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.